welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Deuteronomy 32e, will America cease being a superpower? You know, many people have this idea that America will forever be the world's sole superpower, no matter what our actions are, no matter what our morals are like. And this simply isn't the case. In fact, the scriptures we're going to cover today in this chapter say just the opposite. Because they foretell of a time when America becomes weakened, almost to the point of non-existence. And that's not good. We got some troublous times ahead of us. But we're also going to discuss in this study what has led us to this point. Where did America go wrong? I can tell you this, the solution to the problem doesn't lie with the Democrats, the Republicans, or even the Libertarians, for none of them offer the true solution to our problems. And, you know, it's sad, but it is true. And there is a solution to these problems. And it's not that difficult. It's just that many people are just, they're too stubborn to accept some of the answers. You know, in fact, Christian Overcomers here in the future, God willing, if it's part of His plan, we may actually get involved somewhat with a more hands-on approach of coming up with a solution to some of our problems, at least fighting the right fight, instead of always trying to fight the wrong battles. And that seems to be what we continually always do. We're always fighting the wrong battles. Again, Democrats, Republicans, and Libertarians alike, none of them offer the solution to our problems. Sure, you know, the Republicans may have some good points and the Libertarians have some good points, but they don't get to the core of the matter. They're just spinning their wheels. Maybe they'll be successful to a certain point of alleviating or slowing down the ultimate destruction of America, the ultimate downfall. But nevertheless, the consequences are the same unless we start applying the solutions given to us in our Father's Word. And again, we'll talk about that perhaps in the coming weeks, months, and see if there's something we can do with a more hands-on approach so we can have a focus. Because I know, like many of you, I'm so tired of going there and picking the lesser of the two evils when I get into the voting box. You know, I think it's time we come up with an alternative solution. And I'm not necessarily talking about a third party or anything like that, but that's always a possibility. But I'm talking about some real national political actions in national politics, even that Christians can take, that they can begin fighting the right fight instead of always fighting the wrong battle. And well, perhaps we'll get into that. But before we begin, let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray for wisdom and understanding in Your Word in this very special Song of Moses. This song that You've told us will be sung as a witness against Your people as well as the rest of the world for their violations, for their lawlessness. And we know this song will be sung just prior to the pouring out of Your seven vials of the finality of Your wrath upon this earth. And being that we know that to be the case, we know how important this song is for us to learn and to absorb. And we ask for Your help in Yeshua. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please turn with me, if you haven't already, to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 26. I think we actually read 26 in our last study, but we're gonna just recap it here. And it reads, "And I said," God speaking, "I would scatter them into the corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. That's kind of the topic of our study. Will America cease being the world's sole superpower? Well, it sure seems like it from the words of God here, the words of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, because he's angry, he's upset. Because we're always trying to apply man's solutions rather than the solutions God has given us in his word to our problems. We're always saying, oh yeah, we want to fight for liberty, fight for freedom. We are the freedom fighters. We spread democracy. That shouldn't be our goal. Those are blessings as a result of our fighting for God and for his kingdom. Just like David, did David say, I come to you, Goliath, in the name of freedom and democracy? No, he didn't. He said, I come to you in the name of the living God. Again, it's time we stop worshiping man, worshiping his systems, man-made documents. Yes, even the Constitution of the United States, I know that may shock some, but it's an imperfect document. In fact, it's in certain points it stands in opposition to the Word of God. I know many of you have been duped into thinking that, oh, it was formed according to the Bible. I was at one time too, until I really looked into the matter. And again, if that sounds strange to you, go back and do our last six studies in this book of Deuteronomy. And you'll see what I'm talking about there. Anyways, God says, I'm going to scatter their power. I'm going to make their remembrance to cease from among men. Verse 27, were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely. In other words, what God is saying, hey, I would have almost completely just wiped them out. But I was afraid, not afraid in the sense of God being fearful, but he didn't want to give the enemy the opportunity to say, hey, our hand did this. It's by our power, our might that we've destroyed God's people. No, God wants everybody to know that it is his hand doing it. It's his hand doing the correction. He's only allowing the enemy to do these things to us. He's only allowing Obama to come in here and destroy our nation. And he's allowed it because of our sins. Yes, of course, we all know the liberals are completely almost anti-God in every point, but we've ignored the fact, we've ignored our own sins. Christian conservatives, I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking as one. We've ignored our own sins, our own idolatries, because we spend more time trying to prop up the United States Constitution as our rock, as the foundation of freedom and happiness. Then we do the laws of God. We put more faith in it. Oh, we say we don't. We say we're Christians and we believe. But when it comes down to it, God's law, for some reason, doesn't seem to be adequate for us, but the Constitution does. And think about that. The Constitution can be amended. It's an imperfect document made by man, by man's wisdom, not the wisdom of Almighty God. If God's law has checks and balances in it already, we don't need a human contrived system, and that's the whole basis of the Constitution. Checks and balances, as well as man trying to grant man or trying to secure liberty for other men. It doesn't work that way. Only God can. We the people can't, but God can. And our forefathers, prior to the Constitutional Convention, knew that. And many even during and after as well knew that. But we failed to even try to fix that. Christian conservatives are too busy pounding their fists on the table, listening to the most prominent conservative talk show hosts, which do a great job in many matters. But they're always saying we need to get back to the Constitution. That's where we went wrong. No, we went wrong by building the Constitution off of the intelligence of man or man's faulty wisdom, rather than the Word of God, rather than the laws of God. And I'm going to try not to go too much into that today, because we've already talked about that, but it's so important that, yes, we as Christian conservatives recognize our error, recognize the idolatry that we've been misled into by well-meaning men and women. We just never took the time to analyze, to really think with common sense. Why should a document written by men that can be amended be the hope of our salvation in America? Why would that be? Why would we not go back to the rock of God's Word, His laws, and build everything up from there? You know, somebody would say, well, no, that sounds like a theocracy to me, Pastor Ben. Hey, you know what? No matter what government you have, it's a theocracy. It's just that man is given these neat little titles so that you remain ignorant of the fact. You're either under God's law or man's law. The theocracy of man, called democracy, or even a republic that's not based off of God's laws. That's not so. Now, I'm not just saying, well, it sort of is because of this quote and that quote and this quote. I'm talking about directly rested upon the rock. Not quotes from quotes from quotes and where all the sources came from to develop the stuff. That's nonsense, my friend. It's not that complicated. Does the Constitution align specifically with the Word of God, or does it not? And see, that's where conservatives go wrong. We say, or I don't say it anymore, but we used to say, hey, that's what we need to do. Everybody just needs to get back to that. And then we'd all live happy and free. Well, that's definitely not the case. And we're going to talk about even here at us when we get to another verse here, we're going to talk about the First Amendment, which is a blatant violation of God's law, God's covenant, for it promotes pluralism. It promotes violation or gives license to people who want to violate the first commandment. Again, somebody'd say, well, no, we can't go by God's law. That's just a little too scary for us because we don't want a bunch of religious tyrants ruling over us. That's not what we're talking about. God's law, if followed correctly, does not allow religious tyrants to take over. It doesn't do that. So just because some group of religious people have run tyrannies before doesn't mean that God's law is somehow faulty and that it leads to that. For it doesn't. For basically what you're saying then is you'd rather, instead of following God's law, you'd rather be tyrannized by secular humanists. See, you see how hypocritical or how dual-minded it is for someone to say they are a Christian but would prefer to live under the laws of man? Man-made laws? Rather than God's laws? And then some would say, well, man is just, but man isn't good enough to institute God's laws. But man's good enough to institute the laws made by imperfect man? Either way you slice it, man is going to institute one law or the other. Wouldn't you rather have it be God's law? Rather, God's perfect law? Rather than the imperfect laws of men that can't guarantee freedom liberty, justice. You see, we've been misled even by many in our own camps for so many years, but now it's come to the point where it's staring us in the face that what we've been doing all these years was wrong. It's failing. And there's a reason it's failing. Because it wasn't the right solution. It wasn't the right solution. And then I can hear somebody saying, well, come on, Pastor Ben, now the prophecies must come to pass. There's nothing we can do to stop it. We just need to not be deceived ourselves and wait for the Antichrist to come so we can stand against him. Have you never read Revelation chapter 12? Where it says that those in the end times are those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. It doesn't just mean that they keep them personally or something like that. No, they promote them. They are the guardians of them. And that's why it even says testimony of Jesus Christ. Because you're testifying to it. So our job, all the way back from when God initially called Israel, all the way up through until the very end, is always to promote the advancement of God's kingdom, His laws, His righteousness, His justice. That's our duty. Again, some would say, like I just said, well, that's never going to happen. Well, we don't know if it's going to happen or not. There always could be a revival, a turnaround, before God closes this age. But even if it will not happen, that's what the overcomers are fighting for all the way up until the end, until Jesus Christ returns. And by doing so, many will be converted. Because your stand makes a difference. You are the salt of the earth. And I better get reading here, otherwise we're going to have to do another study in this Song of Moses here. But anyways, so God doesn't want the adversaries to behave themselves strangely or to become prideful and to say, it is our power that has done this. So what is he going to do? Well, first before that, he says this, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Now look at that. Look at what our people are like today. Think of all those people that sit around watching soap operas and, I don't think she's on anymore, but Oprah Winfrey and Dr. Phil and all these other people They watch these people as though these are wise people. I'm going to get my direction in my life by listening to them. And then you go to the false teachers in many of our churches. I dare say most of our churches today. They're void of any counsel. Our people are not being taught the Word of God. And then as I mentioned earlier, hey, the Republicans, the Democrats, and even the Libertarians are devoid of counsel when it comes to the precise, simple solution to America's problems. Because that counsel can only be found in God's Word. You might be thinking, what is the solution? Well, maybe we'll talk about that in the coming weeks and months, because there is a solution. Generally speaking, it's to turn back to God and to support His laws, His statutes, His judgments, His ways, His will, not our own will. And I can hear it also. I can hear this one also. Well, Pastor Ben, you almost kind of sound like a scribe or a Pharisee, you know. I keep hearing you mention the word law. Isn't that legalism or being too legalistic? And if you're saying that, you're saying that in error. You're just not understanding what the true sin of the scribes and Pharisees were. Christ didn't condemn them for being strict adherents to the law. Or being, I should say faithful adherents to the law. That wasn't what they were guilty of. And I know most Christian movies today portray it as such. And most of our Christian pastors even portray it as such. But there could never be a greater lie than that. The sin of the scribes and Pharisees that Christ had to deal with had to do with their twisting and manipulating God's law to align with their traditions. In other words, they were guilty of twisting and misapplying the law in a hypocritical manner. That's what they were guilty of. The law, there's nothing wrong with the law. Yes, the sacrifices according to the law were not perfect because Christ was the perfect sacrifice. And those sacrifices were fulfilled on the cross, but the law was not changed. Just as Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, he did not come to change one jot or tittle of it. So, we need to rightly divide God's word. You know, there's so much misunderstanding. God's law is love. It's designed to protect us, to give us happiness. Sure, we can't live it perfectly, and that's why Christ came, to help us live up to the standard. So when we fall short, we're still counted as righteous by His blood. But that doesn't give us an excuse to nullify it, to ignore it, or say that it was somehow evil. Come on, that's ridiculous. Here we go. Well, let's talk about this again. They are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Many people think America, what made America great is that we have freedom of religion. The First Amendment is America's sacred cow. It makes us wonderful, tolerant, and understanding. But you know what? Freedom of religion does not work. I know that may shock some of you. And many are afraid to say it, but freedom of religion does not work for the simple fact that all religions, all non-Christian religions, as well as governments, always end up opposing Christianity. In other words, they always end up being anti-Christian. And you should, proof of that is just look at what's happening today. Look at where freedom of religion has led us. Now, I'm not saying we should have one specific denomination ruling over America. I'm just saying this should be a Christian nation founded on God's law. And that's just an inescapable truth. You can't argue with that. For Christ said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, that he said, "He that is not with me is against me." So if your government is not with God and His laws, then it turns against Christ. If there are other religions in your land that are allowed to flourish, they will turn against Christ, just as Christ said, "He that is not with me is against me." There is no neutrality. And that's what the founding fathers of the Constitution thought they could create, this great tolerant society that's neutral to all religions. But it goes against the very teachings of Christ. Not only that, But if you remember when we were studying Deuteronomy 7, that God specifically instituted a zero tolerance policy towards false religion. Why is that? Because he didn't want it to grow and flourish and become a cancer and lead the Israelites astray. It's just it's an inescapable truth that many people just will not admit. Many Christian people in politics will not say it because it's not going to win them elections necessarily. Well, maybe it would. Maybe it would if they were honest about it. If they stated it as the true fact that it is, rather than playing games. There is no such thing as a peaceful coexistence of all religions. To include Christianity. It doesn't work. Evil cannot coexist with good. Neither can light dwell with darkness. These things shouldn't have been that complicated for us to understand. Shouldn't have been that complicated. In the introduction I mentioned, I asked the question, where did America go wrong? What has led us to the point that we are at today? And you know what it is? Tolerance of false religion. Tolerance of laws that do not align with God's word. That's what's led us down this route. And that's what led the Israelites to the point of destruction and captivity back in the Old Testament, because they did not heed God's zero tolerance policy towards false religion. I know that would get me the label of a Christian extremist, probably. But nevertheless, it's a fact. It's the teachings not only of the Old Testament, but as well as Jesus Christ. Again, I'll quote it again. When he said, "He that is not with me is against me." So why would you try to form a nation with people that are not with Christ if you're a Christian? Does that make any sense whatsoever? Christ's statement there says that there is no neutrality. No coexistence. For there can be only one. Only one God. Only one way. And just because other religious groups have failed and have become tyrants themselves, doesn't mean we promote man's laws over God's laws in fear of returning to some tyranny of religious fanatics. I say religious, not biblical, religious. Big difference there. Anyways, oh, that they were wise and they understood this. Verse 29, they would consider their latter end, that they would know where they're headed, that they would know that they're headed towards destruction because they have no counsel. They're always trying to fight the wrong battles, coming up with the wrong solutions. That one should chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight. And that was quoted from Leviticus chapter 26, actually. Excuse me. Where God says, hey, if you do things my way, if you listen to my commandments, one of you shall chase 1,000. And two of you will put 10,000 to flight. In other words, you'll be victorious. You'll always defeat your enemies. But, continuing on in that verse, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. What is their rock? Who is our rock? Almighty God. It says that he sold us when we get to this point in prophecy, which I think we're pretty close to today. You know, the kinsman redeemer redeemed us. He owned us. He built us. He begat us as a nation, as a people. He helped found America for us. So he has the right to sell us if he wishes as well. And look, it appears as though he just might do that. He may sell us into the hand of our enemies. Well, in a sense, he already has. Look at who he set over us as our president. The stranger of Deuteronomy 28. Or I could say a stranger of Deuteronomy 28, because he might not be the last. Speaking of Obama. Except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. Verse 31, for their rock is not our rock. What is he talking about there? Even our enemies themselves being judges. Well, it's kind of interesting here. There is a false rock. There is the false rock that many people build their lives off of, their governments, their societies. And that's the doctrines of Satan, which all ultimately comes down to man's will. Do your own will, just like Satan said to Adam and Eve, hey, did God really tell you to do that? Hey, that's not true. Go ahead, partake of the fruit, and you shall be wise. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil for yourselves. You don't need God telling you what to do. That's the rock people build their lives off of. And I dare say the rock of libertarianism is founded upon this false rock. Yeah, many of their things sound good. Hey, we don't want a big government oppressing us. We don't want overtaxation and all these things. But a Christian knows better. A Christian knows that the only solution to that is God's word, his law, not man just saying, I don't want that, we're going to stand against it. That's not going to work. You're going to fail. You're going to fail because you're trying to promote your own will rather than the will of God. I know that may offend some. Some people may stop listening to these studies right now. Well, hey, go ahead. If you don't want to do it God's way and you want to do it your own way, then you're probably shouldn't be a part of Christian Overcomers. You shouldn't listen to us. Because we're going to tell it like it is, no matter who it offends. Even if it offends myself at times. I'm going to do my best not to be fearful of saying anything in order to please man. Again, or even to please my own wishes, my own will. For their rock is not our rock. Again, you can even point out the example of the Constitution, which I've been doing over and over again in these last studies here in Deuteronomy. Because my eyes were finally opened to the fact that America's freedom and salvation does not depend upon that document. A document that can be amended and changed based on the whims of the people or the will of the people. You don't need all these checks and balances if you found everything upon the rock. When you say, thus saith the Lord, and you follow it. And if somebody else tries to come along and say, no, I think we should do it this way. No, you just look back to the rock. And you say, nope, that doesn't say that. Out of here. You little puny tyrant, trying to twist God's law and enslave us, get out of here. Because that's what God's law would do. It would protect us. It doesn't tyrannize us. As so many people would try to do, and they have no idea that it is Satan himself who has planted those seeds into their mind, that somehow God's law is at fault. God's law would become a tyranny rather than a liberator. Yep, and today even our enemies now are judges. Look at our Supreme Court now. Always just, you know, legislating abortion and gay marriage and all these things. Abominations. That's what our Constitution has given us. That's the fruit it's produced. Verse 32, for their vine is as the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Look at what our nation is becoming. Even the recently, even the new pope even made some statement that that he wasn't going to be judgmental of homosexuality. I can't remember his exact words, but after hearing that statement, it's just like, hey, you're claiming to be the head of this great major Christian denomination. You're practically saying you're God's spokesman on earth, but you're too afraid to quote from God's word where it says that homosexuality is an abomination? Who are you? If you can't do that, how can you be a servant of God, let alone lead millions of Christians? I can't be the judge of that. All you got to do is read the scriptures. You're not asked to judge them to hell or not. That's God's job, but your job is to teach the righteousness of Almighty God by His Word. So much for the Pope, huh? The vine of Sodom, and you know, when we read about this in Revelation chapter 14, I believe this same vine is the vine that Christ is going to harvest. In fact, He's going to tread it in the winepress of the fierceness of His anger. And it talks about Him being dipped and covered, or it talks about the blood running, I can't remember how high it was, but it was so many feet up in the air for so many miles. That's what God's going to do to this sodomite agenda and those who promote it and those who are soft on it. This is one of God's peculiar hatreds because it goes against the foundation of everything that everything is built off of, the family structure, the patriarchy that's headed by a father and a mother and then the children. And then outwardly, the elders of tribes. The family structure is the backbone of God's entire plan. In fact, if you look at the 12 tribes of Israel, that's what it was. That's what it is. It's a patriarchy. I don't even know what you call it. Well, I do know what you call it. You call it an abomination. Their grapes are grapes of gall, means their clusters are bitter. Verse 33, their wine is as the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Now I cannot help but think of Mystery Babylon here in that cup that she has in her hand, full of a poison intoxicating drink that really is symbolic of deception. A deception that gets hold of people's minds and deludes them and ultimately kills them. That sorcerer, Mystery Babylon, the great harlot of the earth. Verse 34, is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? Now, when you look at this, if you go to Job chapter 38, verses 22 to 23, you'll see that God actually has great hailstones that He told Job He had stored up for the day of vengeance. And He mentioned them as being in His treasury. You could say His armory, if you wanted to be more precise, because a treasury and an armory are really one and the same. It's a storehouse. That's what God has up in His storehouse. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. And remember, this is what we're singing. Just prior to the seven vials being poured out, if you're an overcomer there. And this is what the people are going to hear, is to God belongs vengeance and recompense. And the result after we sing this song will be just that. Will be just that. Their foot shall slide in due time. The day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone. For there is none shut up or left. There's no one else, no one left protected in a fortified area. In other words, God is going to bring America down to the point of almost non-existence, because he says he's going to see that their power is gone. And then he's going to turn around and have compassion. He's going to show his mercy and turn his wrath upon our enemies. And verse 37, you know what? I may have to break this up into another study. I didn't want to do that, but I think we're going to have to, because if we go past an hour on this study, we go too long, then it's just going to, some of you are going to cease paying attention. So we'll break this up and we'll continue it. We'll continue on and we'll finish this Song of Solomon in our next study. But what I want to say is that we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for troublous times, because a lot of people are just looking forward to the time that the Antichrist appears on earth, and they think that's the next event prophetically to come to pass. Hey, and it very well could be, but when we read these scriptures, it really looks more like we're at the beginning of a period of trouble in America here before that comes to pass. And we need to be set for it. We need to be on guard. We need to be mentally prepared, spiritually prepared, as well as when we can, physically prepared, by preparing our houses, by having the proper supplies, having the proper food, and a plan in place to be able to be ready for these things, for turmoils, for troubles within, and the government possibly even completely collapsing on us at some point. The economy collapsing on us. Now, am I telling you to be fearful of that? No, I'm just saying be wise, be prepared. Use common sense. I'm not trying to tell everybody to hunker down and just become a survivalist, because that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be, number one, be promoting and teaching God's word. But we still should take measures when we can to be prepared for troublous times, because it appears as though we are entering into the times of Jacob's trouble. The time when God starts correcting us, that leads all the way up to the point of the arrival of the Antichrist. And well, we'll leave it at that. But don't ever get too prideful to think that God will not correct America to that point. And don't mislead others into thinking that this is going to just keep going on and on forever, regardless of what we do, regardless of our morals, regardless of the fact that we're legalizing homosexual marriage across this land. And have abortion for some time as well. As well as just about every other ungodly thing you can think of. We're in serious trouble. We're in serious trouble. But during this time, we're also called to do some serious work for the Lord. To be that salt and that light of the earth, to make a difference. And we do have a mission to perform here, and it's time we start getting to it. Anyways, hey, we'll leave it at that. do like what Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 when tempted of the devil. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it. See that you absorb it. Meditate upon it every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to help support Christian Overcomers, you can do so by becoming a member for a $15 a month tithe, donation, or offering, simply by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. All memberships include unlimited access to all current and archived audio podcasts that can be saved and downloaded for listening at your convenience. God bless you, and thank you for your support.